listening to the Mouthful of Graffiti podcast. The Mog, not to be mistaken for John Candy's half-man, half-dog character from 1987 Spaceballs, is a mouthpiece for Mid-Atlantic creatives. I'm your host, Brad Cox, the Mog Father, a name affectionately coined and given to me by conversations with Rich Bennett, and I'm here to let you into the Mog House. Let's see who and what we're chewing on today on the Mog. The Mog, podcasting from Underground Studios, aims to be an all-inclusive, all-things creative networking megaphone, and with the amount of talent we have in our own backyard, I don't know that we'll ever have a shortage of good content and rich stories to tell. Everyone has a story that's uniquely their own, and it's the Mog's mission to unearth it. The Mouthful of Graffiti podcast started as a seed and couldn't have grown without the support of those who sponsored us along the way. We'd like to thank Musicland, Reb Records, Capricos Books, The Gone But Never Forgotten Black Eyed Susies, Vagabond Sandwich Company, Double Groove Brewing, and the Baltimore Decal Gal. Don't forget to use discount code MOGPOD for a 10% discount at Capricos Books. Everyone knows you can't stop by Main Street Bel Air without grabbing some fresh new wax at Reb Records, followed by a delicious lunch at Vagabond Sandwich Company. While you're in town, swing by Musicland for the latest in gear and rentals or a relaxing pint at Double Groove Brewing. Rumors, a Fleetwood Mac tribute is coming to the APG FCU Arena on December 1st. Fans from across the nation claim that Rumors is the band to see if you're looking for an authentic recreation of live Fleetwood Mac shows. Tickets are available at HartfordEvents.com. Just announced, the Phoenix Festival Theater is bringing the Sound of Music to Hartford Community College's Amos Center this September. Directed by Kathy Concord, this musical classic set in the 1930s is sure to be a treat for Hartford County and beyond. For tickets, visit HartfordEvents.com. Finally, Voyage, the ultimate journey tribute band, is set to touch down in Bel Air, Maryland on September 9th at 8 p.m. at the APG FCU Arena. Tickets are starting at $25. Visit HartfordEvents.com. Today on the show, I'm sitting down with local axe slinger for the band Distance to Dawn, featuring former Mog artist Lexi Rain. He's a singer-songwriter, a videographer, and a Hawaiian shirt aficionado. They call him Jeff Hans. Even as I find myself saying these things, I know there's a lot more than meets the eye, despite his Facebook profile about section being rather sparse with details. Despite the band name, Jeff is a hard-working artist with a penchant for pop hooks and emo grooves, with a lot packed into his rocket pointed towards rock and roll stardom. I'm happy to have this astronaut country club artist onto the show. So join me in welcoming Jeff Hans to the Mouthful Graffiti podcast. Jeff, welcome to the Mouthful Graffiti podcast.
Hey, thanks for taking the time out to talk to me.
This is awesome. Yeah, this is going to be very loose. I haven't done a podcast in about 3 weeks now. So
you were on vacation?
I was on vacation. I was in Myrtle Beach. You've done some research yourself.
Yeah, I did.
That's good. How did you even know that?
I think I was trying to get in contact with you and it just didn't line up because you were either not by your phone or what have you. But once you got back to me, I think I realized that you were on vacation. I checked your profile or something like that.
Well, we will become friends on Facebook very shortly after this episode. Where are you coming from today? I'm assuming it's not Indiana.
No, it is not. I am in Middle River.
Much closer.
Near Benji's Drive-In. So
Indiana. Are you originally from Indiana?
I'm not from Indiana.
You're not?
No, that's Sam. That's Sam in Distance to Dawn.
Well, why?
He's the one that travels from Indiana to play Distance to Dawn.
But you have something on your profile that says like hard rock music from Maryland, Indiana. Maybe that's what it is.
I'm not sure.
You have to check your Facebook profile. It said Indiana. I have all kinds of Indiana questions. I'm throwing them out.
Okay. I don't have anything for Indiana.
Okay. So Jim Jones was from Indiana. Axl Rose is from Indiana. And you are not.
I am not. All right. I am hardcore from Maryland.
Obviously, I didn't have a lot of time because I just booked you last night.
Correct.
And your about section on Facebook, it reads as if somebody that's trying to hide maybe from the IRS. Like, there is no information that I could find. I went to LinkedIn. I'm like, why is it so empty?
So limited?
Yeah.
I am just getting started with this project. And I'm not sure where it's going to go.
Okay.
I'm not sure what it's going to be. I just know that I want to make this music while I can.
I don't mean your musical profile. I mean your profile.
Oh.
I couldn't find where you went to school. I couldn't find where you were working. I did see that you worked at CarMax at one point.
Yes.
But CarMax aside,
I'm not really that private. If you go back long enough in my timeline, and especially on Facebook and on Instagram, most posts that I make are public. And it's because I figure if it's going to be online, someone's going to get access to it anyway. The illusion of privacy is kind of only that, an illusion. So most of my posts are public. I'm pretty open about, I mean, you can ask me any question about any place, anything, any time of my life, and I'm an open book. I will give you whatever you want.
All right. So other than maybe Jeff Hands, did you have any nicknames growing up?
You know, when I was in middle school, one of the first people that I remember really taking an interest in me doing music, I had a chorus teacher, Bishop Moore, his name, we called him Mr. B. And he...
Mr. M was not an option?
No, apparently not. But he gave kind of everybody a nickname. And of course, me being this scrawny little kid with glasses and kind of awkward and nerdy, I got the nickname Screech.
Aw.
So, but it was a term of endearment. Every nickname was a term of endearment. And he really only gave nicknames to the people that he kind of saw something in. So that was kind of cool to get that vote of confidence from someone that early on.
Shout out to Mr. B. So it's interesting you bring up Screech, because Pat Rennie is the reason you're here right now, because we ended up having a conversation yesterday afternoon. He likes to call me and ask different things. And he was having the post-studio blues. And somewhere in the conversation, he was like, you got to get Jeff Hans onto the show. I'm like, you know, I do have to get Jeff on the show because he's reached out a couple times and I feel bad. But there's a lot of people in that category. So it's great to have you. But were you a Saved by the Bell fan, or did you just hate it because of the nickname Screech?
I was a Saved by the Bell fan. Okay. I watched it pretty much every morning going to school. They played it constantly on TBS or TNT or one of those, whatever it was. And I would watch it before I went to school every morning.
Yeah, it's a great show.
It's an awesome show.
Did you see the reboot?
Yes.
Okay.
Some of. I also saw the bio documentary about Screech, the one that was kind of centered around the behind-the-scenes stuff. I think it was like a Lifetime movie or whatever, based off of Dustin Diamond's book.
He passed away, right?
Yes.
Yeah, rest in peace.
Rest in peace.
What's remarkable is how much they all look like they looked, for the most part.
It's insane.
Yeah. And, I don't feel like people are aging the way they did when I was a kid. When I was a kid, your father, who was like 45 years old, looked like your father at 45 years old.
These guys worked in factories. They had a diet of meat and potatoes. They would eat all this red meat all the time. You know, it's all the stuff that was kind of that we know now is bad for you.
Right.
Aged you prematurely.
I think the internet's helped a lot.
Oh, for sure.
And I think people are more athletic now, too. Like, they're taking gym class more seriously. I run all the time. I'm the 45-year-old guy that I'm talking about. I don't feel like I look like I'm 45. Maybe
definitely
I do.
Not. I wouldn't peg you for 45 at all.
Yeah. Anyway, you've been trying to get on the podcast for a while. Is this one of your first podcasts?
This is the second one that I've done.
Okay.
The other one's based out of California. You can find that information on my Instagram. I've got posts about it. That was a very interesting. Another one that on a Saturday I got reached out to and said, hey, can you do this tomorrow? And then I did it on a Sunday. It was a Zoom call. So
was it somebody you knew, or?
I had seen that the band Veer had done.
The Malfies.
Yes. Had done a podcast with them. And I just, by chance, reached out and said, hey, do you have any openings? She said that she was going to, Michelle is her name. She said that she had a plan to do a podcast on that Monday where it was just going to be kind of her talking about some of her favorite bands that she's found. So she pushed that aside and said, I'm going to get you in. We're going to go ahead and do that. And the funny part is, part of what the podcast does, she has a tagline, and I completely forgot to do the tagline by the end of it. So she reached back out and said, hey, can you do this? So I actually rewrote a little jingle song for her and sent that to her so that she can have that for the podcast.
Did she seem prepared?
Yes, absolutely.
That's awesome.
Yeah, it was because a great conversation.
Sometimes, you know, local podcasts in general, that they're not always prepared. Sometimes somebody just puts a phone on the counter and they just push record and that's it. And it's just a fluid conversation.
Right.
I feel like you really have to be prepared.
Yeah. You have to at least know a little bit about who you're talking to. And it's good for me to know a little bit about you as well.
Yeah. So have you been on the Part-Time Rockstar podcast? Brett Bueller does a great job.
I have not. So that's another one that I'm definitely interested in getting.
So we'll tag him. He calls me his general to the north. So I guess I'll refer to him as my general to the South.
Awesome.
Yeah, I mean, he does a very good job. It's a similar format for local Mid-Atlantic artists.
What I like about doing these local podcasts, it seems more genuine. It seems more of a conversation. It's more intimate than doing something that's a little bit bigger, a little more well-known.
Right. Even if you have a guest, like sometimes I'll do a guest that's not local and it doesn't feel like that. It really feels more like an interview because we don't have common threads to interweave. Like you brought up Veer, so I could talk about the Malfies and all of a sudden we're having a conversation that feels a little bit more intimate or normal. Right. Yeah. Not like, tell me about the time that you went on tour with Iron Maiden.
Right. Correct.
So for a Sunday afternoon, this has to be your average weekend at CarMax.
I haven't been at CarMax for quite some time now.
Okay. So what are you doing now to feed the family?
I actually work in IT for a company called EMR, Electric Motor Repair. They've been around for close to 100 years now, and they do repairs on commercial food equipment. They also have an industrial division that does repairs on commercial elevators and ships and big stuff.
So this is pretty far removed from music.
IT has a lot of correlation when it comes to music, I think, because there's a lot of there's a lot of technical aspects of being in IT that correlate to being able to mix, master, produce music, knowing how to connect certain peripherals, getting things set up so that it's easier for you to do. So having that IT background has actually been a huge leg up for me starting this journey on this project.
Yeah, I would think that you would intuitively pick up technology because of that, and everything is technologically based.
I'm not afraid of technology. I think a lot of people are afraid to make that leap into understanding those things. Some people go into music wanting to just do their instrument, play their music, and that's it. I'm interested in everything. I'm interested in the video portions of it. I'm interested in the marketing portions of it. I'm interested in the business side of it. I'm interested in the entire pie. I want to know all of it.
Yeah, I mean, and there's different fun to be had. Like marketing a song is a lot of fun.
It is. And TikTok has been one of those things that I got into TikTok around the time of the pandemic because obviously everybody was home. Got laid off for a couple of weeks until I could actually come back into the office. And I spent a lot of time just perusing that because I have nieces and nephews that are younger. And of course, they're all on it. So I took the time to get on there and it easily became one of my favorite things. I've learned so many things about music, about life, about, we were talking about the health aspects. I've learned so many health things, so many recipes. TikTok has been like one of my biggest educational platforms. So now that I get to put this music out there and have those connections with people, I'm getting people that are commenting from across the country and that don't even speak the same language, but they're commenting and giving praise to what I'm doing, which is, I think people take that for granted.
Yeah.
They take the idea of that internet connectivity that we can talk to people across the world instantly and reach those people as opposed to how it used to be.
So do you have a pretty big following on TikTok?
I don't, not yet. I'm aiming for it.
Any recommendations? Because it seems like you'd be a drop in the bucket.
I am a drop in the bucket.
Yeah.
As of right now.
Well, that's kind of how it is with all social media. But
intermingling with other bands that are trying to do the same thing that are pop punk bands, that are alternative rock bands, or solo artists just like me with this particular project, they are very interactive, especially on the lower, when they have a lower following number and they don't have as much comments and interaction. And it's very cool because I've had conversations like, hey, what are you doing to market this song? How are you doing what you're doing? And I've had these conversations with people that I otherwise wouldn't have met.
Which is cool.
It's amazing.
All right, I'm going to read the news real quick and then we'll get into it. Transcendent Events is bringing StellarCon back to the APG FC Arena on October 7th and 8th. You can get your tickets at stellar-con.com. Are you a comic book enthusiast?
I actually used to work for a comic shop for quite some time. Not in the actual comic shop, but I did videos for the comic shop.
That's very cool.
So they would do promotional videos every Tuesday night. I would have to film, edit, upload all in the same night in order for them to get it out on Wednesday. So I was usually up to like 1 a.m. on Tuesdays, but I did that for years.
DC or Marvel?
Both.
Okay, fair enough.
DC.
right. Rapola Entertainment has Any Given Sin with special guests Awake at Last, A Light Divided, Rise Among Rivals, Cole, and After the Broken coming to the Record Theater on August 19th. Where does the Record Theater rank in terms of favorite local clubs for you?
I love playing the Record. The staff at the Record and the sound guys, sound engineers, everybody that's there is so kind and welcoming.
That's good.
And I love the stage. The stage has such a storied history. The amount of people that have walked those boards is kind of astonishing, especially when you look at all the pictures that are in the
hallway. Used to love it because it was like right in between like the Bel Air, Harford County area and then Baltimore City. So you could get everybody.
It's a hub.
As where people up here don't always want to make the trip and that kind of thing.
Right.
All right, so Feed the Scene has Bad Cop, Bad Cop, the Homeless Gospel Choir, Callie Massey, and the Pity Party coming to the Metro Gallery on September 3rd. Did you guys play the Metro Gallery yet?
I have not. I don't think I've ever even been to the Metro
Gallery.
That's
a cool place. It's a little less pressure, but it's a pretty big room. It's small.
I mean, I've seen pictures and video. It looks like a fantastic venue. I've just not been there yet.
And finally, be the first to message me the word astronaut to win a $25 gift card to the Baltimore Decal Gal. So we always start with fun questions. So let's see what we got here. You met Matthew Lillard.
Matthew Lillard, yes, I did.
It's not Lillard?
It's Lillard.
Oh, well, I've been saying it wrong my whole life.
Well, now you've learned.
So Matt, you met Matthew Lillard. Do you have a favorite Matthew Lillard movie?
Oh, SLC Punk.
Yeah, that's a good one.
That movie hit me hard when I was younger. It's obviously heavy on the ending, but just that idea of like those 80s punks and that scene and wanting to be a part of those shows that are just absolutely crazy with, you know, mosh pits and fights. And that was always appealing to me.
My wife and I's favorite movie is The Curve. I don't know if you've ever seen the movie.
I don't know if I have. I've seen so many movies.
It was originally called Dead Man's Curve. And it's basically like if your roommate kills themselves, then you automatically get straight A's.
Yeah, I am familiar.
And it's such a great like B movie. And it should have been so much more popular. But anyway, we love that movie.
When I met him, we went to Monster Mania, which is a horror convention. Uh-huh. So he was there for things like 13 Ghosts and the horror things that he was involved
in Scream.
And we got there and I, of course, wanted to meet him for SLC Punk. And he didn't have anything on his table. I didn't bring anything with me that had SLC Punk. I don't like to do the bring the DVD and get that signed. I don't really like doing that. I like to have something a little bit more special, personal, picture, a poster, something a little bit different that I can display. And we have so much stuff that's just in storage, but we exchange it out every once in a while. When I met him, he didn't have any of that. And I said, you know, I'm really disappointed that you don't have anything for SLC Punk. So he took a Scooby-Doo poster, flipped it over, and he wrote a big anarchy symbol and wrote the word. Am I allowed to cuss?
Yeah.
Okay. He wrote the word fuck on it and he wrote all these other anarchy stuff and like all this stuff. And he wrote, did his signature and all in SLC Punk. And it's just now that's a custom piece that I have that's sitting in my basement.
You need to put that on your arm somewhere.
Yeah. It would be awesome. That would be a great, great tattoo.
Judging by your pictures, I think it's safe to assume you're a father.
I am.
How old's your daughter?
My daughter is 5 years old. And going on 25.
Oh, wow. Did you have any favorite cartoons growing up with her? And by the way, mine's 21.
Right.
So
she got hooked on so many movies. It would be months at a time that she would get hooked on these movies.
Right.
WALL-E was a huge one.
Oh, yeah.
Frozen 2. It was just a litany, an absolute litany of movies that she went through. But like I said, we would watch them ad nauseum. So I know like all of the songs. And what's funny is me and my wife had never seen Frozen until she was born and she wanted to watch it.
Yeah.
And when we watched it, you know, it was annoying at first, but you kind of fall in love with it because your kid falls in love with it. And that is what ended up, we got a tattoo recently. Because we've been together for 20 years.
Wow.
And we're high school sweethearts.
Like Lisa and I, we've been married for 21 years.
We just celebrated 8 years married but 20 years together.
Congratulations,
thank
man.
Thank you so much. And we got a tattoo, and we always wanted to get a matching tattoo, but we never quite knew what we wanted to get.
Right.
And we figured if we make it centric about our daughter and not a name and not a face or anything like that, we could kind of get away with it being unique to us as well.
Sure.
So we got these sandwiches that have a little Mickey toothpick thing in the top, and we got it because of Frozen.
Okay.
When they say the line, we finish each other's, and he says sandwiches.
Okay.
So we finish each other's sentences. We also finish each other's sandwiches.
What is the secret to that long relationship?
Communication.
Yeah.
You just have to say what you're feeling, be able to communicate that in a way that's not aggressive or yelling. And we never really have arguments. We just have discussions. You come to the other person and you say, look, this is what's going on. I need you to step up, or do you need me to step up? And checking in every once in a while also helps. Say, do you need me to do anything around the house? Do you need me to do anything for you? Are you good?
That's fantastic, Jeff.
Thank you.
Yeah, relationship advice with Jeff Hans. All right, so continuing on the fun questions, favorite Netflix series. And this is really just color in who Jeff Hans is.
So my wife is a huge horror fan, and I'm not a huge, huge horror fan, but I appreciate horror, and I appreciate all movies. I understand that nobody intends to go and make a terrible film. They just sometimes turn out that way.
Right.
But I've seen so many series. I can't peg one as being a favorite. You got me stumped.
Okay. Well, yeah, have you seen Ozark, Stranger Things?
I haven't seen Ozark. I have seen Stranger Things. Stranger Things is fantastic.
Cobra Kai?
I am kind of concerned. What was that?
Cobra Kai?
I haven't seen Cobra Kai.
Oh,
I've never been a huge... Don't tell Pat. But I've never
listening.
I've never been a huge fan of it. But I'm aware of it and understand that it's pretty good.
It's pretty fun.
Pretty good.
It's fun.
Okay.
Yeah.
But to go back to Stranger Things, the fact that this strike that's going on right now is going to delay things even further. These kids are going to be like 35 by the time they finish the series.
I know.
So it's going to be really awkward once they finish that last season.
They're going to look like adults.
It's going to be awkward.
Yeah. And there's no way to de-age them.
There is, but it's probably not worth it for Netflix to do it.
I don't know. Like, I just saw the new Indiana Jones movie where they made Indiana Jones look like he was like his 20-year-old self.
Right.
And that works because he was still already kind of an adult. He's just aged. But like, you can't make people like shorter, right?
Have you ever seen the movie The Age of Adeline?
No.
So there's a guy in the film that plays Harrison Ford at a younger age.
Uh-huh.
And his voice is on par, like perfect. And I don't know why they didn't cast him in the Han Solo movie. The guy's fantastic and has the look, has the voice. They could have easily picked this guy up to do the younger parts for Indiana Jones, and it would have worked.
Yeah.
It's so frustrating when Hollywood just chooses to CGI the crap out of things.
That movie's gotten mixed reviews, but I did enjoy it. But I was going to enjoy it anyway.
There's something to enjoy out of every movie. I think people are a little too critical, or maybe trying to be cool because they don't like something.
Right.
Yucking people's yums. Everything's not for everybody.
Where did it all start for you? Like, what were some of the first records that you were introduced to that made you think, you know what, I really want to do this? And now you could be your formative years, like 5, 6, 7 years old.
The first album that I remember listening to front to back that really blew my mind, that you could even, not having a full concept of like, you can listen to this artist for 12 songs, not understanding that as a kid, because I think I was like 6 when the album came out,
right,
was Green Day, Dookie. And my brother...
There's a lot of Green Day on this podcast.
My brother had that album, and he was a fan, but he wasn't as big of a fan as I became. And it just... It's one of those albums that I can listen to consistently front to back and not skip a single song. And I know like every word to the entire
really
thing. And
see, I'm the same way with Sex Pistols, Nevermind the Bollocks.
Right.
Because it's what I grew up with.
Exactly.
You know?
They say that you only listen to the music that you listened to up until you were like 16, 18, something like that.
It's really
the rest
weird.
Of your life, it sticks with you.
It does.
And I try to get into the newer stuff that comes out, but it is difficult. But you kind of have to like forego that thought of like, oh, this is the new version, and kind of like accept it as this is the evolution of what music is.
I think it becomes a little bit challenging because when you're younger, you're not aware of how derivative and how much you're being marketed to.
Right.
As we're now, when you're older, it's like, I get it. I've seen this before. I know this angle, whatever. So it doesn't have like that untouchable hero myth type vibe to it. Like,
right.
You know what I mean?
Like some of the artifice has faded.
Yeah. Right. But were your parents really heavily into music?
My mom has sung her entire life. My dad played drums. He's where I kind of got started with playing music. Once I got into my teenage years, I started with drums. I'm a horrible drummer. That's why I do pretty much everything MIDI. I kind of get a base idea of what I'm doing with drums just by playing an electronic kit and then program everything from there. Okay. But my dad got me started on drums. I took drum lessons for a year, then moved on to guitar and really fell in love with that, and then started joining bands at that time. My mom has been singing all of her life. She does karaoke and she does a lot of country.
Okay.
So she does old school country
stuff. Weren't you just putting on Facebook that you were looking for a vocal teacher?
Yes.
Couldn't your mom teach you?
She can teach me to a point.
Okay.
But I need to get to the point that I can do some of that more gritty, growly kind of mixed voice stuff. Yeah. And she's not the person for that. Sorry, Mom.
Steve Whiteman from Kix, if he's still doing it. I know Kix is retiring, but he was my vocal coach and he's awesome.
Oh, okay.
Steve Whiteman.
Okay.
All right. So when you listen back, how about any other instruments? The kazoo, French horn, triangle, that thing that looks like a fish.
I started learning. We have to look up the name of that thing.
Yeah, what is that?
I did start learning how to play piano at 30, which was an interesting thing.
Did you find it? It was pretty difficult, right?
It is difficult. It's
just learning something new at that age.
But understanding, I'm very good at pattern recognition. So it was one of those things that once I understood the patterns on piano, I better understood the guitar. I better understood the bass. I really wish I would have started with piano because I have a much firmer grasp on how to navigate music by knowing at least scales on the piano.
Yeah. You're the bassist, though, in Distance to Dawn.
Correct. Which I'm not traditionally a bassist either.
So you became a bassist because you always wanted to have a job.
No, I became a bassist because...
You know what I mean?
That's good. That's good. No, I became a bassist because I fell in love with Distance to Dawn immediately.
Okay.
I can't remember if it was a show that I was playing with Pat or if it was a show that I happened to be at the record, but Distance was playing and Nick Ellison was doing the bass parts. And, I just went up to Sam and Lexi while they were at the bar. They had never met me before. I'd never met them before. And I said, look, if any time you guys come to the conclusion that you need additional help with absolutely anything, hit me up. I'd love to be a part of this. I really think you have something.
Yeah.
And so about 6 months went by and I hadn't heard anything from them. I kind of just wrote off. It was what it was.
It was a conversation.
It was a conversation. And they hit me up for this Pop Goes Punk show that was happening. And that's right up my alley. I absolutely love that stuff. So I sat down and I wrote pretty much all of the Pop Goes Punk songs and kind of sent them over to them that we wanted to do. And it just from there, they were like, oh, he's serious. Like he wants to do this. And I'm like, yeah, I absolutely want to be a part of this.
It sounds like it worked out pretty well.
It's fantastic. I love working with Sam and Lexi and Vic. They are some of the most genuine individuals that I've found in the music scene currently.
Were there any bands like in high school that predated Distance to Dawn?
That you're talking about ones that I wanted to
maybe
be
like
in
high
that
school
I was in?
Or
oh, I was in a bunch of different oddball bands.
Anybody you want to give a shout out to?
Well, the biggest one was How to Be a Hero, which we actually did put out an album, which is a rarity for a lot of local bands. They don't get to that point. So I'm really proud of the work that we did on that album.
Okay.
And
How to Be a Hero. Is that on Spotify?
Yeah, you can find it everywhere.
Fantastic.
It's everywhere. And it's pop punky stuff. The vocalist for that is Rob. He's one of my longest standing best friends in the world. He lives in South Carolina now. And I still keep in touch with him. But he is a much better vocalist than I am. And I really wish that he was still in the area to continue working on projects that I'm working on.
Well, shout out. You said Robbie.
Rob Harford.
All right. We talked about Green Day's Dookie. What are some of the other influences of yours?
Mayday Parade.
Mayday Parade.
I don't know if you're familiar with Cartel.
I'm not.
A lot of people aren't. And they're one of my absolute favorite bands. Every album that they put out, I'm just surprised that it doesn't do more than what it does.
Right.
They had a string of hits, two or three hits that were in the early 2000s. And they put out a second album, which was a really interesting project, how it came about. They did something called Band in a Bubble. You can look this up, for Dr. Pepper. And I think it was sponsored by like MTV or VH1. But they spent in this bubble home, they spent a month and just sat down, wrote this album and put it out.
That's interesting.
And it was a really interesting
like
concept
real world,
to put together.
For a band.
And the music that came out of it was, I think it's some of their best work, but a lot of people just didn't like that because of, I always equate it to when you put your first album out, you've got infinite time to work on that. You know what I mean?
Right.
You've worked on these songs, got them to absolute perfection. And then when you put something together in 30 days, it's going to be different. It's going to be a different feel.
Sure.
It's going to be a different style. You're in a different place in your life and you've got less time to do it. But I think some of those songs are some of the most influential when it comes to me.
How about influences that maybe were influences that aren't influences anymore? Maybe they just didn't age well with you.
That's a tough one.
It is. But there's definitely bands that I was introduced to as a kid, like Poison. I don't really listen to Poison anymore.
You know, there's definitely songs, me and my wife were talking about this, that need to just kind of be retired in the lexicon because it's just worn out stuff. Like every time that I go to...
Do you ever turn on 98 Rock and hear like Crazy Train and you're just like, really, guys?
Come on. It's on the playlist still.
I mean, it was...
Is anybody calling in for Crazy Train?
It was tired in the 90s.
Every time that I go to a vacation spot that has some acoustic guy that's just playing in the corner of a bar or something, you get Brown Eyed Girl
or, Sweet Caroline. Oh my God, I hate Sweet Caroline.
You're not the only one.
Oh, it's awful.
One of the owner of our company is, her name's Caroline. So, of course, she's tired of that as well.
Of course, yes. All right. We briefly touched on Distance to Dawn. What is your role in the songwriting when it comes to Distance to Dawn?
You know, primarily, this is one of the most easygoing groups that I've ever been a part of because Sam is a tour de force. Like, I think that he is a phenomenal songwriter. Sam will...
So he's the main guy.
Oh, for sure. He sits down and writes these amazing riffs and puts together a song. We have a group chat that's going on Facebook. So we're we're constantly talking.
I hate those, man.
And he sends over snippets and clips and pieces of what he's working on.
Yeah.
And throughout the day, you'll see the evolution and hear the evolution of what he's thinking and what he's doing.
Yep.
And I love hearing that process. And Lexi is the primary lyric writer. And so the combination of them two sitting down and writing all of these things and just giving it to me and saying, here's what we've got. And I basically sit down and play it. I don't have to really do too much work because they take all of the work off of me. So I'm involved with a lot of the marketing portions of it and the playing live portion of it. And
you've got the Astronaut Country Club to kind of scratch the writing itch.
Exactly. I just love being involved in the project in any capacity because I think that they have a significant chance of doing something with their music.
And they're so young, so they do have a lot of time.
I do feel like
the
dad of the group. I feel like the old man of the group.
How old are you?
I'm going to be 35 next month.
Not as old as I.
I know that it's so significantly more difficult to break into the music scene at this age.
Sure.
As opposed to if I had done this 12 years ago.
Mm-hmm.
But I tried doing this 12 years ago, and I don't think I gave myself a fair shot. I think that I was constantly distracting myself with other things. I had the time to do it. I had the energy to do it. But I doubted myself a lot. I feel like you don't really start having significant confidence until you get that experience and you get
right.
that life behind you. You know what I mean? It feels like once I hit 30, 32, somewhere around that region, I was kind of like, I'm not a kid anymore. I'm a man.
Right.
You know, like I can go do things. I can be confident. The naysayers and the negativity just weighs so much less.
Well, you were talking about like the difficulty in getting into the music industry at this age, but I was actually going to ask you about the idea of rock stars, because we don't really have rock stars anymore. So who the hell's breaking into anything at this point?
It's odd. There's a divide when it comes to looking at popular music online. I get confused by what is popular versus what is not, because the online presence is completely different than what you hear on the radio.
And it could be manufactured.
Correct. It can be bought and paid for, which a lot of it is.
Well, you can usually tell by the engagement, like, oh, you got 30,000 followers, and every time
and
you post
likes
or two likes.
Right.
Yeah.
It's it's obvious when it's not right.
Speaking of Distance to Dawn, you've got something you brought here today. What do you got there?
This is just a set list from one of the shows that we played. It's just a memorable show for me. Lexi was stage diving and he's surfing on the crowd in this one.
Naturally.
And it just, I don't know, that's that moment stuck with me. And I had to keep the set list. I usually give them away at shows, but I kept this one because it's such a memorable show.
Yeah. I always say bring a talking point item. So do you have a favorite show at this point that you've played other than maybe that one? Like, has there been any national openings or anything that's like really like blown your mind? You get like a show like that and you're just like, you're nervous again.
You know, the nerves thing has dissipated so much. I look at every show as if it's going to be the last show that I'm ever going to play. Because I don't know.
You don't know?
You never know.
Yeah.
So I give it my all. I jump around on stage. I look goofy. I make funny faces. I pick the guitar up. I make mistakes. I'm comfortable with doing all of that because I understand, and I think a lot of artists get so caught up in playing their music 100% perfect when they get on stage that they forget that there's a visual aspect to live performance.
Yeah.
People tend to play perfectly when you can listen to that album or listen to that song online at home in your car. People know what the song sounds like. They want to see what you're bringing to a show. They want to see something fun. It's the feeling that they remember. Necessarily remember all of the songs. They're going to remember how they felt when they left.
It's a negotiation between like how perfect do I want to play it and how entertaining do I want to be?
As long as I'm hitting 85% of the notes,
right?
I'm convinced that it's going to be a good show.
Right. Because I mean, I grew up with like really dominating frontmen, like guys like Robert Plant or Axl Rose. Like these guys, it was really about the show more than the song even.
Right.
And I appreciate that. I like that.
When
I don't want to see you play it perfectly. I could care less.
Exactly.
Like you said, I can listen to it.
I know what the song is. I know what the song sounds like. Give me something to do.
Right. You guys recently put out some new music. We're not here to really talk about too much of Distance to Dawn. We are here to talk about the new project. But what's next for Distance to Dawn?
Distance to Dawn has a show coming up that we can't talk about yet.
Okay. Is it one of those shows where I was just kind of alluding to like a national opener?
I don't think national opener, but it's a pretty big show.
Okay.
But we are sparse on details.
Who is keeping this lid on the can of coffee? Is this Nick?
I'm not going to discuss any of that.
Nick Ellison, you son of a... Okay, so you got a big show coming up with Distance to Dawn.
Right.
Any more music videos you're working on? Or?
You know, it's difficult to do the music videos because of Sam being in Indiana. But we definitely plan on doing more like that. It's down the pipe, and whenever Sam can make his way out this way, we always try to plan on doing multiple things at once.
Right.
Because we have that limited time.
Right. So somewhere there, you began wanting to write and produce some of your own music.
Yes.
So what was the impetus for the Astronaut Country Club?
So working with Pat Rennie is really the catalyst that got me back into music.
How many times have we said Pat Rennie on the show already? Five?
At least three.
Jesus.
<I'm kidding. laughs> At least 37.
This is the Pat Rennie podcast featuring
Pat Rennie.
Jeff Hans.
Pat Rennie with Pat Rennie featuring Pat Rennie.
Right. Anyway.
He approached me. I actually did his first music video back when I didn't know what I was doing. And he reached out to me. He had been working with somebody that was doing live guitar for him, and he wanted to experiment with a couple other people, and he knew I wasn't working on any projects at that time.
Yeah.
And we both have that background of pop punk style music, and he wanted me to just do live guitar for him, to add that visual element,
sure,
to add that extra piece to what he was doing. And I thought about it, and I'm not a huge pop music person. Like, everyone listens to pop. You have to listen to pop music. You just do. Everyone listens to pop
music.
Hear
that, Pat? Everybody listens.
Everybody listens to it. And whether they admit it or not, they're yucking yums. Trying to be cool. But he got me off my ass. Like, he got me back into doing what I love. And
very cool.
I questioned
why. He got you in this room right now.
Yes. Yeah. And I questioned why I stopped in the first place. And then with the advent of working with Distance to Dawn, all the pieces kind of came together and said, you know what? I've got all of these skills, all of these ideas, all of this drive, all of the equipment that I have in my basement. Why am I not doing my own thing? And I think it came down to that piece of confidence. It came down to that not believing that I could do it. I had never done it alone. And it's terrifying. I don't know how Pat writes and produces and all of that stuff with his own music all by himself. And we talk about that frequently, about how it gets lonely.
Yeah.
But having other musicians to bounce ideas off of, or to share things with and strategize with, I owe everything to Pat and Distance.
That's very honestly cool. So I don't need to define the music. How would you define it to somebody that's just listening to it for the first time?
I like to call it happy sad.
Okay.
Because a lot of the
lyrics, it's got an emo element,
it's
obviously.
It's emo. It's complicated emotions. As you live your life, things seem chaotic. They seem disjointed.
Mm-hmm.
But as you look back on things and gain perspective, it kind of looks like a finely crafted novel. So I kind of put that into my music to say, here's who I am. I hope that other people kind of feel the same way and can connect with that. But just because things are grim or depressing or emo, right, doesn't mean that they can't also be a catalyst for something else. So sure, the music is a vehicle to take those things that are a little bit difficult to talk about, put them to music, and kind of push them to the side and say, you know what? It's not as serious as it needs, as I'm making it out to be.
So running out of rhymes.
Mm-hmm.
It seems to be, I don't know, you're going to tell me, a song where you want to say a certain thing, you want to leave a certain legacy, but maybe it seems like everybody's already said it and you don't know how to say it yourself.
That's pretty much where I'm at.
Is that what it was? is that what it was?
There's so many, and there's nothing wrong with that. There's nothing wrong with...
I think you're right, because it's such a content-driven generation that everywhere you look, somebody's kind of putting something out that might be similar.
But putting your own spin on it and saying it in a different way isn't necessarily a negative thing. It doesn't say that I've run out of rhymes. It says I'm running out of rhymes.
But you'll find more.
I can still find a way to say
and
this.
Ironically, it is not a rap track.
No. It's not. No, it is not. Not at all.
It's a fun
don't want to hear me
song.
Rap.
Now I do. That's exactly what I want to hear. The next podcast will be you just rapping.
All right. I have to bring some beats. I need to get with somebody.
But that's what the song is about.
And I'm, you know, again, with the age, turning 35 this year, I am fully aware of where I'm at in my life and my age as far as the music industry is concerned. But I still want to make music. I'm not dead yet.
You're not dead. I still want to make music.
I still want to make music. Exactly. These things don't go away. I don't just quit because I'm fully aware that there's the largest portion of a possibility that none of this does anything, but I love it.
But you know what? It's influencing. It's like the butterfly effect, right? So it could just be one person that's inspired to do it because of you. It could be one person that's actually impacted or healed because of you. If the music's healing you, naturally it would heal somebody else potentially, right?
That's why I called it Astronaut Country Club. I want it to be a club. I want it to be this group. this people that find it's hard to make friends when you're at this age.
But
it's
why
hard to
astronaut find country club?
So the
obviously your shirt is an astronaut. People can't see it because it's a podcast. But
he's curling. He's curling iron.
Yes, he is.
But it's it came down to the this little space race that's going on with all these rich guys. Space used to be this frontier of exploration and wonder. Mm-hmm. And now it's become kind of monetized. It's become a tourist attraction. They're going to start selling seats on space shuttles for people to go hang out in space. And just to say that they, and it's going to be so exclusive to a very affluent crowd. So my idea was, wouldn't it be ridiculous if all of these people came together and said, hey, we're going to have a country club for all of these astronauts, you know, quote unquote. And if I make the first one, does it make it kind of uncool or does it make it ridiculous so that no one actually does that?
All right,
you know, so it's kind of like it's kind of an F you to that whole concept of exclusivity.
Yeah.
So the idea of it being so exclusive that only astronauts can join makes fun of that exclusivity.
Yeah. I love it.
Thank you.
So where did you record the tune?
In my basement.
You did it in your basement.
In my basement.
Anybody, any other musicians you need to give a shout out to on this?
It was all me.
Really?
It was.
Very, very talented.
Thank you.
You're playing the bass, you're playing the guitar, you're singing, and you're programming the drums.
Yes.
I love it.
Thank you.
Not daunting at all. So you have more songs, obviously. If you have the capability of doing that, the only real obstacle you have is time.
Time.
Because you can put out music every other day if you wanted to.
I could. I'm working on several songs that are at a 90-95% point. I'm going to make the commitment to do a new song every 6 or so weeks.
I think that's fair. You don't want to rush it.
I'm not going to put out a full album. I'm probably just going to do singles for now. I want to play live shows eventually. But I want to find my people. I don't want to just go play shows that are going to be people that are mildly interested. Mm-hmm. I want to be able to have people that are aware of the music, that know the music, that want to be at these shows. So it's if that doesn't happen, if that's not something that happens, then I'm okay with that. But I want that genuine interest and that that camaraderie and that club to be something.
Well, while you're speaking of your people, are there any other local artists other than Pat Rennie that you might like to give a shout out to?
You know, I just did video for Animal Ion.
Okay.
And
is it a group I should have on?
Oh, for sure.
Animal
Anthony's
Ion.
Anthony's awesome. He's a great, the lead singer. He's a fantastic dude. I'm actually going to be doing vocal training with him sometime soon. And I'll butcher his last name. It starts with an N. I know it starts with an N.
All right, well,
something like Nucino.
You can tag him in.
And they put on a heck of a show. Like the light show that was run for that was fantastic. There was a section in it that I was so blown away by where it kept silhouetting them with these backlights and then it would bring them back and then it was time
cool.
to the music, but it looked so fantastic. And to catch that on camera and be able to like give that to them so that they can use. Awesome.
Yeah. And we didn't really even get into your videography, but that's another business that you do. You're very successful with it. You want to talk about that a little bit?
Sure. I primarily got into it doing weddings, and I still do weddings. I love doing weddings. I think working on one of the happiest days of someone's life and being able to share in all of those tiny intimate moments.
But are you ever afraid? Like you?
Oh, I'm terrified.
Didn't hit the record button or something.
Terrified.
Because you can't go back.
It's all fly by the seat of your pants, and you just hope that you get everything that you need. I've had so many issues with audio. That's mainly the thing, because you never know what you're getting. If you're getting a DJ, if you're getting, you got to mic up the officiant, and sometimes it's a female officiant where you. They have a dress on and it's a little bit difficult to mic them up so that you can't see the microphone and the pack and all of that.
Right.
Or the DJ is running things a little hot and you try. That's usually my main thing. But the video stuff, I'm just recording all day. I'm running through.
Yeah.
All of these SD cards and
you haven't parlayed that into photography.
You know, I can do stills.
I think you could.
But I don't prefer it.
Yeah.
I don't know why. I did
you
it
must
before.
Like editing.
Oh, I love editing.
Just kidding.
I love finding those moments of nobody else got to see this, and now they do.
Now, I will say, I do hate the editing when it comes to the podcast.
Right.
But there is something when I kind of get into a zone that is relaxing about doing it. You can kind of just like, okay, like the work's done, and then I'll get this done when I get it done.
Right.
You know,
especially when I'm sitting down, the highlight reel of a wedding video or a music video is always something that is rewarding to me because you go second by second. So I always say that when you cut, it's a gut feeling. You have to know when you're going to be doing these cuts. And to sit there, like the Distance of Dawn music video that I just did, we filmed for 3 hours, 4 hours. And to sit down and piece all of that together, each shot is only lasting 3-4 seconds, whatever. And then you're moving to the next shot. But that's that feel. You have to kind of know that. And I feel like I'm good at knowing when to cut.
Well, Jeff, we've covered just about everything at this point. We're going to hear the song Running Out of Rhymes. Is there anything else that you want to convey or share about this particular song?
Just that...
Listen to it. Put it on your Spotify playlist. Like, where else can people find this music if they...
It's everywhere.
I know.
It's everywhere.
But if, say they're, like, older than we are. Spotify, Apple Music.
There is a visualizer that's on YouTube that's pretty fun.
Okay.
The way that I filmed that, I've actually not explained how I did this yet. I did a lyric video, and then I put the lyric video on my television. And then I put my astronaut helmet that it's just a motorcycle helmet, but I use it as my astronaut helmet, but it's got a big reflector on the front. And I reflected the television lyric video onto the mask and then filmed the mask and then mirrored it. So you basically get a visualizer just off of the reflection of the lyric video.
That's cool.
So it looks different. It's just a different way of seeing it.
Well, Jeff, thank you for making the trip today. I know you got a lot of family stuff to get into.
For sure.
But this is called Running Out of Rhymes by Astronaut Country Club.
Thank you so much for having me today.